I want to thank the Parnas HaShavua, Julian and Federico Salberg, Le'ilui Nishmas Yeshua Ben Yisrael, and Yisham Shem Neliyim, and Yom Shem Yisim Chanachis and Brach. Also, the Chlani family, Rabin, Zecha Nishmas, his father, Rabbi Noam, the whole series is Le'ilui Zecha Nishmas, Yisham Shem Neliyim, and Yom Yisim Chanachis and Brach. And the Parnasim for the year, the Thalheims, Simcha Nachas and Bracha. Let's finish the piece from Tzadik before Yontif. You have Machshavei Schoritz. The Kohen is telling us, is teaching us that Mechazal, the deeper meaning of Mechazal, talking about La Yehudim Ha'isa Arav Simcha V'Sasn V'Yikar, that Sasn is Mila. Sasn is Mila. No, I'm not going to the chilukim now between Sosn and Simcha. That's not important for right now. The point is that through Shmiras of Bris, a person is able to reach the highest and most pnimistic Simcha in his life. And the opposite of that is that Gam HaBris, Lo Aleinu, a person who's Pogim in the Bris, is living a life of atzmus, of sadness, of anxiety, of depression. There are other causes for these tzaras in our times, but in Pnimius, the deepest reason for the sadness of the generation before Mashiach comes, which life has never been better than it is now. Of course, there are always tzaras low later, but for the most part, life is good. We don't live the way that our ancestors lived. Life is much better. V'chol zeh, there's never been such sadness, heaviness, atzlus and atzlus. Doesn't make sense. But we're learning to understand on a deeper level, why is that? Why is it that Pagam HaBris, the whole tikkun of the end of time, has been learning for years now, is this Inyan of Kedushas HaBris? That's why it's the biggest Nisayin before Mashiach comes. And when we're not successful in this avoda of Kedushas HaBris, there's terrible atzus, there's terrible sadness. We don't identify that. Sometimes a person does b'shas ma'isa, but usually it's not identified as the source of ongoing sadness. So with young people, it comes out not as much as sadness, although it's an amazing thing with young people now also, depression and sadness. Why would somebody be sad at that age of 16, 17? What's there to be sad about? The sadness, but it's more, it comes out with young men as an anger, as a kaz, anger. Anger. We'll talk about that connection between the sadness and the anger of our generation. Young people are angry. Not so much the girls, the guys are angry. And that kaz is very, very deeply connected to Pagam HaBris, to the atzvus of Pagam HaBris, and the anger and the frustration since they haven't matured yet, instead of just being like us adults or depressed. The younger ones don't know what to do with that inyan of depression at that early time of their lives where everything is supposed to be gevaldik and they're having a great time and they're living it up. So it comes out much more as a kaz, as a strange anger that doesn't just make it's irrational anger. Anger at parents who are good to them, anger at the teachers, anger at the world, anger at the Bari Olam, angry, 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 everybody's angry. So we're learning that the meaning of, Reb Tzadik is explaining the meaning of Sasan Zumila, that Gemara says that joy is Bismila. It's the joy that comes with a Jew knowing deep inside that even though, God forbid, he's a person that's not keeping mitzvahs, chas v'shalom, or even we learn from the Gemara in the Dharma, if it's a person who's not even gemalt, he doesn't have a bris. He doesn't have a bris. But Nafsha Yodas, but his soul knows that even in the absence of mitzvahs, and even though he screams that he's an atheist, and even though he refuses to get a bris, which I heard of, there was somebody that told me about a mice like this in their family last week. There was somebody that they do not want to give the child a bris in the family. That with all of that, we learned that in Halacha, the Gemara tells us that a Jew is called a Nimal. He is called Gemal. It's Kilui has a bris. Because since that bris is the Etzamachayim, it defines who he is. The same way a Jew can be kicking and screaming that I'm not Jewish. He's yelling, I'm not Jewish. And he tells every German when he's online, I'm not Jewish. I don't care at all about that. I'm not Jewish at all. I don't identify as a Jew. So, you know, nowadays you can identify as anything. You become that. So a person says, I don't identify as a Jew. And the German says in the Gemara in the Dorm, the Flamed Aleph. Because they know they're good. They're good. Those were Shaiva. They study. They prepare. And it says that even if you don't have a bris, you're Gemar. You're a Nimel. Because that's the Etzem HaChaim, and they were totally right. They planted the yellow star on those people, sad because they ended up getting taken away. But they were Jews, and that's the Etzem HaChaim. And we're learning it, Rav Tzadok explains, the Etzem HaChaim of a Jew. Remember that the Jewish people count time by the moon, Rav Tzadok is explaining. We spoke a lot about this year. By the moon, because the moon knows She'en L'Klum. The moon knows that it's not what she thinks, it's not what she feels. Her light is not her own. Her light is the sun. It's not me. This is the light that I have is from the sun. It's not me. So that means in the pnimius, in the essence of a Jew, the Jew knows she'en lo klum. That is, he doesn't have, his life is nothing. His life is worthless. His life is meaningless. The only life that he has is that reality that he's a Jew. He doesn't feel that way. So that's, of course, the inyan of the Orla. That's the Orla. That's Amalek. That's Yad Al Keska. The Orla is what covers. We call it the Yetzer Hara. So the Yetzer Hara is that koach in our lives that is ma'alim, that conceals and hides that truth. That the Etzem HaChaim of a Jew is Elokus, is Hashem. So it comes out that Rav Tzadok is explaining, we'll finish the piece in a second, that Pgam HaBris means the most horrible, horrible choice that a Jew makes. It's horrible. And we learned in Shulchan Aruch, and we learned 2 years ago, the Shulchan Aruch, Nasa Kalim, what the Zohar says, it's brought down in the Poskim, the Zohar says about Pgam HaBris, it's horrible. And the horror of Pgam HaBris is that this person has made the choice l'natek et atzmo min hakesha shelo im hachayim. Understand? He has made the choice to detach himself, to cut himself off, to detach himself from this kesha with his life. Like a person who's lo aleinu in the hospital and he pulls out the oxygen. And he cuts off, he signs, do not resuscitate. I don't want to live. So it's a terrible thing that a person, sometimes a person just, lo aleinu, kills himself in one shot, and he's gone physically, he dies. Then you have a Jew that's menatik et atzmo. He takes away, he pulls out the oxygen, he cuts himself off from that source of oxygen. But, and this we learned already a lot over the past couple of years, so from Abmatul, we're learning this with what Psalik is saying, even though the person has done this horrible thing to cut himself off from this kesher, he's not living, he's not experiencing this kesher, he doesn't feel it, he doesn't think about it, he says, I'm not a Jew, I don't believe in God, even though he's cut himself off from enjoying this kesher, from being part of the whole hiskashras, but it's not, he's not able to be nogea kihuzeh in that reality of his existence. Al derech moshel, let's take a person in the hospital who was on life support, lo aleinu. So this person is at this point is no longer conscious. And he could be that he signed every paper in the hospital, I don't want to live. And if I go under, take me off the oxygen, do not resuscitate, I'm finished. I don't want to live. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be a vegetable. I don't want to be held on any life support system. The guy says this. Somehow, in whatever way was possible, the family was able to override that. So when he closed his eyes, when this guy lost consciousness, he believed that he was finished with life. Gamarti. I'm done. But the truth of the matter is that he's alive. And every doctor, every scientist, every professor that walks in, you tell him, listen, this person wants to die. And he identifies himself as a corpse. That's how he identifies himself. It's not his issue is not gender. His issue is not, his issue is, I'm not amongst the living. So, but every professor and doctor, I mean, you should, nowadays it's hard to say, it could be that nowadays it's different, but until recently, even though every doctor is saying, even though this guy rather said, I'm dead, I'm finished, I'm done with the world, but the doctor looks at the situation and says, as a lebedicker, he's alive. He thinks he's dead, he wants to die, but he's... And that's very, very sad that he doesn't want to live. Just when you talk to a person who doesn't want to live, it's the saddest thing in the world. I'm sure you've met people like that. You know people, you've heard of people like that. And someone does not want to live. He doesn't want to live. But the fact that he doesn't want to live, and he feels that he can't identify with all the people around him who are alive, and he doesn't feel that he's alive, the Metzius is, he's alive. That's the Metzius. The Metzius is that he's alive. The avoda of our lives, all the avoda of life, is to be machshiv that nakuda. That's what we're talking about. To be machshiv that life that's inside of me. Not aleph. Not to deny it. Not to reject it. To connect to it. To live it. To breathe it. To enjoy it. To jump in diving. To scream in our learning. And to be on fire with that bris that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not to deny it. Gam Habriz is a denial of that kesha. It's a denial of reality. It's like what's happening now. There are people just identify something else. I'm not going into whatever with biology and medicine. I don't know any of that stuff. I just know that there's something strange that's going on. Mm-hmm. And that a person can choose to identify as something that he's not. And there was never such a thing that a person of the art denied. Oh, he's either a zacher or he's in a keva. You could be a Zohar that has certain types. You could be in the Kaver that has certain types. But Sof Kol Sof, you're a Zohar and you're in the Kaver. But it came before Mashiach that there's such a thing that a person says. That my wife showed me on the news that there was some politician, somebody was by a grand jury, and they, I don't know, it was a lady, and they asked her, so somebody was asking her, so what is a woman? I don't know the exact nusach, but she said if... What she said? She said something like...
I'm not a biologist.
I'm not a biologist. So, I'm also not a biologist. None of us are biologists. The only couple of biologists. I don't know any biologists. I'm not a biologist. And she couldn't answer bivados to that question like other Marishan Lahavdil in Gan Eden, when the Baruch Shalom asked him a question, he couldn't answer. Ayaka. He couldn't answer. And Hashem says, Cain, what happened to you? Where's your brother? I'm not a biologist. Christ, I don't know. So what's going on over there? He's lying down, he's like not breathing, everything. I'm not a biologist. I don't know. You created him, you figured out what happened. Did you do anything to him? I don't know. I can't answer that question. I don't know. And the whole world became like that. So you could have a Jew that screams, I'm not a Jew. I don't identify as a Jew. I identify as an atheist. I identify as a person of the world, as a citizen of the world. I'm not. That's a tragedy, and we're going to learn. We're going to get to it maybe today or the next time. That since the inyan of simcha comes from feeling alive, that's where simcha comes from, being alive and feeling alive. Whenever any one of us feels alive, we're besimcha. When you feel a chiyus, you're besimcha. So when a person tries to deny that source of his life, which is Pagam HaBris, which is the bad stuff that goes on with the bris. So then he is cutting himself off from that chiyus of being alive, of feeling that life. And Mimela, all the depression, all the sadness comes from that. From that pagan. You know, those key, you're not alive. You're not alive. You're just lying there. You're on life support. You are alive, but you don't feel that you're alive. So you look around, all the bachim, you look at the faces of the bachim, you watch, and you see that they're alive, but they don't feel alive. You can see the way that they walk, the way they daven, and the way they sit, and the way they're talking. They're alive, but they don't feel that they're alive. They don't feel that they're alive. And the ikur inyan there, of course, there are other things that could be possible. What's going on in his family? Things that are going on in life. Of course, there are all kinds of things that would cause a person to feel out of it. But the underlying shurish of this feeling of not being alive and not wanting to live. Where do you have this thing that young people that I'm having these conversations almost every week with somebody who tells me that they have a child and the child is 15, 16 years old and doesn't want to live. The family has a nice home. They're nice people. And even if he has the kid, the parents are nice people. He has all that he needs to eat. He's able to go to with his friends and to have a good time. He doesn't want to live. And then when you try to understand, what is it that's so bad? What's the matter? Why don't you want to live? Why don't you want to live? You can't get a good answer. It's not clear. As I see, it's happening more and more and more. They want to live. And how many of them have killed themselves? They don't want to live. And the ones who are too afraid to kill themselves, they just drugs and all kinds of things. Drinking and the rest of the stuff that's going on. They don't want to live. Healthy young people who should be happy, who should be excited about the future, don't want to live. Sasan Zumila. A Yehudim Haisa Ara Visimcha Visasan Zumila. Sasan is Mila. When a person, and that's what Tzadik is saying, when a person is able to be miskasha to that reality, then you could have nothing in your life. You don't have, God forbid, you don't have parents. You don't have a house to live in. You don't know where you're going to get your next meal, but you're alive. You're alive. This kesher with Kedushas Ebrus, like Yehudim Hayisar V'Simcha V'Sasim V'Yikar. Let's finish that. V'Yikar is the end of the pasuk. The Gemara says, "What's V'Yikar? What's V'Yikar? Film. V'Yikar is film. Look inside the coin. Like this says, Zoychen V'Yikar Eil Tefillin Shebereish. If you don't have it, just listen. It's just two or three sentences. Again, we're talking about the Indian of Kedushas Habris, Shemir Habris by a male, by a Zacher, and the Tefillin, the Shemir by a Zacher. Women also have Kedushas Habris. I don't want to each time have to go through this, but just to be reminded that, of course, there's Shemir Habris, and there's also the Kedushas Tefillin by a woman. It's just it's not the way we do it. But we're just talking about regular amongst ourselves now. Now the kesher, the knots of the tefillin, those are the knots that tie us to the reality of being Jews. The kesher of tefillin. We don't find by another mitzvah that say that there's such an inyan of kakap, like you have by tefillin, kakap, lemanach tefillin, that a Jew that doesn't put on tefillin, right, what does that mean he doesn't put on? Does it mean he never put on in his life? We're not going into that now either. But a person who rejects tefillin, doesn't put on tefillin, that even though it's a mitzvah say, tefillin's a mitzvah say, there's no din of yahar v'yahav by tefillin. V'cholzos, there's a opinion of kakapta l'mach tefillin, means that a Jew that doesn't put on tefillin is not, he's not connected. That without tefillin, one is not connected. Without that kesher, atalom kusha, you're not tied up. You're not tied. You're a Jew, but you're not tied up to your life. You're not connected to your life. Because yikar, and yikar means that which is most dear to you in life. That's what we're learning. What you're machshiv most? What is yikar? What is yikar? What is dear to you? What is most dear to you? But there is a zaych on yikar, eil tefillin shebereish. Shu akesha, to understand that. to understand and to know this truth, that no matter what I've done in my life, no matter how I think that I identify myself, whatever it is, that I'm that the etzem, that essence of who I am is something that cannot ever be changed. It's who I am. I'm a Jew. That's called Yekar. That's Tefillin Shabarosh. Shua Kesher Ha'amitz Shebeinim Aviyam Shabashamayim. There's also what's shocking to me. I'll tell you the truth. When I was growing up, I had all different kinds of chaverim. And there were guys that were, some of them were more religious and some of them were less religious. But it was my chaverim. Everybody put on tefillin every day. A lot of them put it on for like 2 minutes. And they just said Shema. But I can't think of one of my chaverim when we were growing up. And there was a lot of stuff going on. But I can't think of one of my chaverim. If someone said, you don't put on tefillin, it was like, it would be the biggest shock. And there were guys doing all kinds of stuff, but tefillin. But now I can have a conversation with a young person, and I'll talk about it. And when he's going through stuff, I usually say, are you able to put on tefillin every day? And how many times are you hearing now? You know, I try a couple times a week. It's shocking to me. And then I have kids who became very firm, and they tell me that they have fathers that put on tefillin every now and then. And when I was growing up, even among the modern Orthodox, tefillin was, maybe I'm mistaken, I don't know, but at least the people that I knew, everybody put on tefillin. Maybe I looked at it in such a way, maybe I'm naive. You're saying even back then, years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know. I only saw in that circle of my friends that everybody was putting on tefillin. Could be that we were all children of survivors, so maybe there was more of an Indian with that. I don't know. But it seemed to me that tefillin was something that, remember, guys that were totally stoned the night before. And like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you walk in, you see people put on a tzitzis. You're like, totally like out of it. But you put on his tzitzis, and you're sitting there putting on his tefillin, and looking like in the mirror to see if it's straight. I have this picture. This is a picture I have in Yerushalayim. And I was, a guy that I knew, that I was looking for his roommate. I went in there, and this guy was totally out of it. He was always on something. And I walked in, it was 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He's like that. He's wearing a pair of shorts, and he has a towel. He puts on his towel, cut, and he's looking in the mirror. And so I said, "Wow, you know, you're trying to think, what does Hashem think of this picture right now?" What is this? So when I was younger, I thought this is horrible, this is terrible. What's the matter with him? But as I get older, I'm thinking it. Oh, I don't know what happened to this guy. I have no idea. But I'm thinking that. Where he was holding in his madrega, who had salad kasher. He couldn't let go of that kasher. Tefillin is a kasher. It's a knot. It's a connection. We have to. Our kids have to feel that somehow. We have to communicate to them that whatever you're going through in life, don't mess around with the tefillin. Just make sure you have your tefillin. Whatever it is, and whatever you did, and even if God forbid you do something you shouldn't do, and you're ashamed of yourself. You work that out with Hashem. You make sure you put on your tefillin. You don't miss a day of tefillin your whole life. Somehow to get that over to the children. Because that's the tefillin. Shuk a kesher ha'amitz. It's the powerful kesher. Shebeinu lavim shev shemayim. Adero kol amei arutz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yormim. It says impossible. That all the nations of the world, all the non-Jews, will look at you, and they will see the name of Hashem upon you, and they'll be afraid of you. They'll be afraid of you. The name of Hashem upon you is filled. Because each one of us is filled with Shemus of Hashem. We learned from Rav Kook, a whole Torah, that every Jew is filled with Hashem. We're filled with Hashem's names. The external levush of those names is when we're wearing the parashis of Tefillin. Then the Shem Hashem is even on top of you, not just inside of you. The Shem Hashem is always inside of us, but you don't see that, and you might not feel it. But when you have your tefillin on, then the Shem Hashem is nikra alecha. It's mamish on you. The Shem Hashem is nikra alecha, and that's something that the goyim can't be sorry about. A Jew in tefillin is something that the goyim can't be sorry about. Such a thing. A Jew in tefillin. That's something which is very upsetting and very frightening to them. Why is that so upsetting to a guy? Why is it that they can't take the tefillin? If you machal Shabbos, I'm sorry, if you shomer Shabbos, that a guy can be sorry. Even if you're somebody that go around in a bid and pay, it annoys them. but they can be soivim. I know Jews are annoyed by that too, but they can be soivim. But if a Jew is wearing tefillin, that a guy can't be soivim. Why? That's what's asked the pasuk. Why? Why is that cause this fear? Why is it cause fear? Means this, this something they can't take. Because that's the psak din. That's the psak din. The psak din is this Jew is Mekushin and you're not. You understand? He's Yaakov and you're Esav. He's the Seir LaHashem. He goes to the Beis HaMikdash. He's Mashiach. He's the whole program. And you are thrown off the mountain with Azazel. The German. You understand? That's where you go with Azazel falling down and into pieces. And that Biur, when a guy sees Tefillin, he can't be sober. He doesn't mind when he's sitting on a table still, but when a Jew's wearing Tefillin, he goes out of his cable. Because that's the, because that tells him that no matter what you, no matter how nice you are and how civilized and good, it's fine, and you get rewarded for that, that's good. But you're still Esav and he's Yaakov. And there's the Atta B'chaton, and you're not part of the Atta B'chaton. And that's something which that he knows subconsciously when he sees the film. So that is something which he can't bear. So that's what Rav Tzadik explains. The Yizgala Le'ein Kol, the Gam Kol Ma'aseinu Pa'alta Lanu, it's going to ultimately be revealed that everything comes from Hashem. That's the pasuk. Afilu Ma'isim Shem Lamaris Ayin Lo Kein. Even the things, I have to be careful, this is, you know, Tzadik was a chassid of the Ishbitzim, and you have to be a little bit familiar with Ishbitzim to understand where they're coming from. So I'm not going to talk about this now. We've spoken about this in the past, but I feel like Maisim Shem Lamaris Ayin Lo Kein, that even the things that you did that appeared to be against God's will, even the things that you did to it that appeared to be against Hashem's will, you can shut him alolus yesturus baos mishesh may gracious. This is what the Ishbitz always brings in Absalik. This is Chazal, it's in 104 in the footnote that I don't want to go into right now. But that when a person will do tshuva, it will be shown to him that even the things that he did that were against Hashem's will were all part of Hashem's plan. And we'll leave it at that. But you're not allowed to think about that chalila when you're in an aveir, or you feel like doing an aveir. Never, ever, 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 chas v'shalom, allowed to think like that. But once a person does tshuva, and zidon is nasna kezachias, then Hashem shows him that all that he did, all of that time, all the things that he was doing keneged Hashem, that it was all part of Hashem's plan. Just like Hashem shows a Ger Tzedek that all of those years that you weren't, there was all a nitzchias in that every moment that you had to go through in order to be, for that etzem of your yahadis to be revealed. Because of course a Ger Tzedek was also a Jew all the time, just it was covered. So that is something that we can't understand with Seichel. We're not even allowed to think about. Our avoid is to be like Yosef HaTzadik. And when there's something that's not good, you run away. But the Pnimius is Yehuda, is David HaMelech. Then Hashem brought Mashiach Davka from Yehuda and Tamar, from David HaMelech, Hashem. Even those things that were horrible, the Shas Mais, it turned out to be not just good, but Mashiach's in. Part of bringing Mashiach. What Yehuda did with Tamar was bringing to the world parrots, and parrots is the great grandfather of Mashiach Tzidkenu, of David HaMelech. So this is what it says. I feel the Maestro in the last line. You can show them halolus yesturus of both Mashiach may bereishis. Meaning that even the dark crimson red of your sins were really in truth all going back to the years of creation that Hashem planned everything to be exactly the way that it has to be, that you should be able to come to where you are now. V'zeu mitzvahs b'sume b'puria ad l'yada. And that's the Indian, the main time of this biur is Purim and Yom Kippur, which are two halves of one sugya. Yom Kippur is two halves, Yom Kippur and Purim. Those 2 days of the year are the days that biur between Yaakov and Esav, takes place. It's the strong biurs on Yom Kippur and on Purim. And in very, very different ways. That's what's so remarkable about We've learned about this many, many times over the years. That's so, so remarkable. The Mamish, in many ways, those 2 days on the outside are just the opposite. They're just the opposite, in many ways. But the Inyan of Purim, Zau Mitzvahs Bisuma Bepuria Ad Le'yada. In other words, to become intoxicated, like the guy in the dormitory room, to become intoxicated, Ad Le'yada, until Ad Le'yada Ben Ar Haman L'Baruch Mordechai means, even though it looks to you, it looks to you like you're no different than Haman. In other words, if you look at your life, it seems to you that you are in the category, Chas V'Chalila, of Ar Haman. And then you know some person that's not Jewish, a nice fellow, and it seems to you, and this person that's not Jewish, he identifies with all kinds of Jewish things, and he likes Jewish people, and so on. So you look at yourself, and you say, I'm an Ar Haman. And you look at this guy, who's a nice fella and likes to likes to read Parshas of Shavuot or something, and you say he's a Baruch Mordechai. And on Purim you drink Ad Le'yada and you dress up like him. Ad Le'yada v'na'ar harman l'Baruch Mordechai. So it's an amazing thing. This biru on Purim between Yaakov and Esav, between Amalek and Yisrael. So Tzadik says, "Sh'af shemitzad ha'yidia ein shum hevdebel pa'al klap." In terms of your understanding of the situation, you don't see yourself as being any different than Esav. I act the same way. Even the Malachim said, "Halalu agdei v'dezar," and "Halalu agdei v'dezar." What's the Malachim is saying? What's the difference? And in terms of our yidia, in terms of this person's yidia, He sees himself, he understands himself to be just like the person that's not Jewish. He's no different. He does everything like the person that's not Jewish. He comes to the Sabbath, he makes himself a tree in his house, and he hangs up stockings, whatever they do, and he sings their songs, and he doesn't write down on any paper that he's Jewish. He considers himself to be a Hamadika mensch. He's from the world of Ham. And there was a beer by Purim of the Yehudim Ha'isar V'Simcha V'Sas from Yikar that the Rasha was going to hang Mordechai on the tree. The Oysev is born of Aleis Talisa. And in the end, Haman is the one that's hanging and the Jews are making Yilachayim. Yilachayim on Purim is the biggest thing in the world. Because on Purim, a person, even without understanding, is able to reach that nakuda that's called Chai. And what's that nakuda that's called Chai? Kedusha Sabriz. The nakuda of Elokus. So Alechayim on Purim is not the same thing as Alechayim during the year. That's why the Inyan of Purim is Ad Lo'yad, is to drink, to come to the nakuda of that Chiz. That's deep than anything that makes sense to you. It's not something that's logical. In terms of what I understand, there's no difference between this Jew and the guy. There's no difference. So why is it that the Jew gets to have the yellow star and has this schus of being killed al Kiddush Hashem, and this guy gets a promotion in the SS? You understand? What's the chiluk? What's the difference between the two? Between Yaakov and Esav? The Malachim is saying, why should Jews be saved? And the Egyptians drowned? What's the difference between one and the other? They're both Oivdei Avodah Zarah. They're both the same people. What's the difference? Avilu Kain, Mikomakom, Ze'or, Ve'ze'baruch. Or Haman, Baruch Mordechai. Even though you're mixed up, you're drunk. Isn't this fool? We become Shikar and Belamiyayim. We're drunk, because the reality is not the way it looks to us. So even though it seems to you that the guy is a Baruch Mordechai, and that you're an Ar Haman, on Purim the beer is, even though he might act like a Nemo, the guy acts like somebody who had a Bismillah. Very good meetings, very refined, very nice, and so on. And you're acting the opposite way. You're acting in a terrible way. In the end, it's he's Aruch Haman and you're Baruch Mordechai. Not that you should cause any problems for a nice person, but the Metzius is, his Metzius is Aruch Haman. That's his Metzius. He's an Aruch Haman and you're Baruch Mordechai. This is not to lead you to gloat over a person and to misbehave. He's behaving nicer than you, and you're not behaving nicely. But it's not a matter of gloating. Just like Ata B'chaton is not a matter of gloating. It's a matter of being miskashya to that truth, that regardless of what you think, you are a Baruch Mordechai. You are not an Aruch Haman. Haman is the one who's hanging. Haman is the one who's hanging. And when they took the Klosenberg Rebbe school, saying, like, wow, and they came to Klosenberg, and the Germans took out, there was when they would come to a town. I've told this to you many times over the years, this Maisa. Whenever they would come to a town, they would always take out the Rebbe or the Rav or the Shir, right? That was the Germans always made the biggest chayzik of the tzaddikim, because this way they would torment all the Jews. So all the Jews of Klosenberg were taken out into the square, and the Klosenberger Rebbe, they grabbed the Klosenberger Rebbe, and the German was standing over there, and the German starts screaming at the Klosenberger Rebbe, and he said, "Hey, Rabbina, tell me something. Are you the chosen people?" That's what he asked the Klosenberg Rebbe. "Are you the chosen people?" So all the Jews were standing there. And the Klosenberg Rebbe looked at him in the eyes and said, "Yeah, we're the chosen people." The German gave him with the back of the rifle across his face, that all the Rebbe's teeth came flying out, and his whole head was like blood. And he fell on the floor, and he was lying there. And the German grabbed him up and picked him up and said, "Hey, Rabbina, do you still believe that you're the chosen people?" And the Klosenberg Rebbe said, "As long as you're the one that is hitting, and I'm the one that is being beaten, we're the chosen people." Yes. You're an Aruch Haman, as we told him. And I'm a Baruch Mordechai. I'm a Baruch Mordechai. Because when you cut me open, you could torture me to death, you'd kill me. Inside of me, there's only kindness. There's only elokus. And I would never, ever do this to anybody. But you, it could be that 2 weeks before the war, you could have been a teacher of physics in the university in Heidelberg, walking around with a, smoking a pipe and wearing a bow tie and a tweed jacket, head professor, right? And now you got a promotion, and you're beating up Jews in Klausenburg. We're the chosen people. Baruch Mordechai, Aruch Haman. That's close. Piece. A person, the Rav Tzadik is saying that Av she'en shum yediyah lahavdil b'neihem. Av she'en shum yediyah lahavdil b'neihem. Ha'hevdil hu l'mayla mihadas. That sosin is mila. That hevdil is a mal. He's a gemal. The Jew is a gemal. He has a bris. V'zeu ha'tfilm. V'zeu ha'tfilm. That the tfilm is being makasha oneself to that reality of being a living Jew, of being alive. To be makasha oneself to that reality. Shema kesher v'ha'keser shavarosh. Tfilm shavarosh. Keser. The tfilm shavarosh is the crown that a Jew wears of malchus. And that malchus cannot be changed. And that's the story of the seven beggars at the beginning. That if everybody in the whole world tells you that you're not a king, a Jew is be'etzem a king. That's why that's why when the father gave the son to be king, and the father said that even if you lose this, right? As long as you're besimcha, that means that you're really a king. Because every guy in the world could tell you that you're a filthy vermin of a Jew. You're an insect. You're a roach. You're a roach, a cockroach. Every guy in the world could tell that to you. So you lose the malchus. The malchus is taken away from you. But no one in the world could take away the malchus of a Jew. Because Hashem said about a Jew that we're b'nei malachim. And bonim atam l'shem lokecha. So there's no anti-Semite in the world that could take that away from you. So the king tells his son, when he gives him the malchus, b'chayim, in the beginning of the story of the seven beggars, and the king gives him the malchus, b'chayim, so the king says that that I see in the stars that you're going to go down from the Malchus, and at that time you'll be besimcha, then I'll be besimcha too. That means is that the simcha of the Rabbi Yishlam is when a Jew, even when he has a yerida, even on the day when he lost his Malchus, in terms of how he behaves and how he's acting, and he doesn't feel like he's a Jew. If the Jew knows that the etzem, it's not possible for a Jew to lose the malchus of who he is, because the malchus of who he is something which is what Hashem created. It's not something that you could get rid of. And if you're able to know that, then even when you lose the malchus, even when you're going through the worst, you read the God forbid in your life, you're able to be besimcha. And that's the simcha of a Jew. And besimcha doesn't mean, okay, I'm happy, everything is great, I'm going to continue doing aveiros. That's not what it means, besimcha. Besimcha means, I know that no matter what I've done in my life, in a second, I can build myself back to who I was, because I'm be'etzem, I'm a melech. I'm a melech. Like when Shlomo HaMelech was dethroned, right, by the Ashmedai, the Gemara didn't get in the whole mice that happened, and Shlomo HaMelech was dragging around in the world. And remember, we've spoken about this piece in Nishbetz, also from Likutim, over there in the Meshilach, that Shlomo HaMelech is walking around the world, and he doesn't look like a melech now. He has nothing except what? His stick, right? Remember, he has only his... That's all he has left in his life. Zechelki mikol amoli. Chazal say, all he had left was his stick. The imposter was sitting on the throne in Yerushalayim. Ani koheles, hayisi melech. I was king in Yerushalayim. I'm no longer king. Shlomo HaMelech was usurped, was thrown out. And he was going around the world, and he was knocking on doors and saying, Ani koheles, hayisi melech. And people were slamming the door. They said, you know, like, I'm also the king of the Jews. And they're slamming the door in his face. And all he had is Zechelki mikol amoli. So Ishbitz has said that what he had was the staff, was the simon of what? Of Malchus. The king has the scepter, the royal scepter. And Ishbitz says that when Shlomo HaMelech was Zechelki mikol amoli, that Shlomo HaMelech was saying, you could beat me, you could torture me, you could spit at me, you could make fun of me. Zechelki mikol amoli, like the melech, hakeini. I'm a king. I'm still king. Hayisi melech is over Yerushalayim. I used to be in Yerushalayim, my headquarters. I'm on a road trip. Right now I'm king, walking around with a stick. Zechelki mikol amoli. No one can take it away from Shlomo HaMelech. Zechelki mikol amoli. Mikol amoli, to recognize that I'm a melech, and no matter how I was thrown off in the most disgraceful way from the throne, the etzem of who I am is David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. The Malchus is alive and well. The Malchus is alive. And a Jew has to know that when he's dethroned. Because we all go through days when we're thrown off the chair. Zechelki mikol amoli, not to let go of that mitzvah, so being a melech, a Malchus. Now, kesh shebrosh lamal, edas v'asagas on them. When you put on your tefillin, that's what you're saying. One moment. When you put on your tefillin, that's what you're saying to yourself, and that's what you're saying to the whole world, and even though nobody's else in the room, and you're saying that to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're saying, Zechelki mikol amoli. That I'm still a melech. I still wear the crown. Zechelki mikol amoli. That... I'm not giving up. That's why tefillin, never ever give up tefillin. Ever. Zechelki mikol amoli. That I'm still a king. I'm wearing a crown. The crown is my tefillin. Ki nizbar Hashem shleimim udvukim Hashem isbar. Just, I don't see that inside of me, all of the shemus of Hashem. Zechelki mikol amoli. Kol ishtar shal zakayim v'soif ma'isi shalem noz machshav v'tchila. Sof ma'isi means that everything that a Jew does at the end, there's going to be a bira that it comes to Machshava Tchila, it all comes to Hashem, and it's all part of what he had to go through. But even a Jew who is in a place that's called Sof ma'isi, when he puts on his tefillin, he's connecting to Machshava Tchila. That's the Machshava Tchila. Even though he's in a place that's called Sof ma'isi, he's in the lowest place of his life. When he puts on his tefillin, he's saying Machshava Tchila. I want to get back. I'm not. That's not who I am. I'm going to get back to the throne. Ba'omek gracious, that Hashem is baruch. Hanelo me'ein kol chai. Me'ein kol chai. Shakol mimen. Hashem who's hidden me'ein kol chai is alive and well inside of you. Even though all those who are living me'ein kol chai can't see Hashem with their eyes, but the tefillin is that simon on our that we wear. And say that even though I don't see this, and the whole world doesn't see this, but the Messiah is the truth, and that the reality is that Hashem is Chai, and I am alive. And Chai, you know, is one of the words of Kedusha Sebris. Ben Ish Chai. Is Chai means Chai. Chaim is Kedusha Sebris. That part of the body, that's Be'ever Chai, can be Neve Meis, it's called Chai, alive. Od Yosef Chai. Od Yosef Chai is Kedusha Sebris, is Yosef Atzadi, is Chi. So we don't see such an Indian. David HaMelechim, by Yosef Atzadi, Mashiach, and David Mashiach, and Yosef, that Chi is Od Yosef Chai. And don't miss on Chai v'Kayim. He's the Nekud of Mashiach, of Gula, of Malchus. What's Mashiach? Mashiach is Malchus. And the Malchus is alive. The Malchus is alive. And when we go out and it's dark at night, we're making Tiras Levana, and we can't see La'en Kol Chai, everything is dark. Jews stand and dance over there at night, and he said, don't miss on Chai v'Kayim. Chai v'Kayim. By the Levana, because Levana is a symbol of what we're learning about. And a Jew knows that Be'etzem Leisam Gamei Kumi has nothing. Only this one thing that he has is who he is, and that's his Yiddishkeit. That's being a Jew. And that's why Kiddush Levana. That's why we dance and we say Dovim Sachai V'Kayim. And when one Jew looks at another Jew and says Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, even though they just saw each other the whole Shabbos. So what's he saying? Shalom Aleichem. They sit next to each other in shul and they walk outside the shul and he says Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. What does that mean? Why is he saying Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom? Usually say when you haven't seen somebody. So you meet a friend, you haven't seen him, you meet him on the street, hey, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. But here, the two of you daven next to each other. You walk outside of shul after Marv, and it's Kiddush Levanim, by the Levanim, by David HaMelech. He said, Dom Sochai V'Kayim. And this guy looks at this guy, he sat with the whole Shabbos, he was arguing the whole Shabbos too. And he's sitting next to him and he says, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. What is that? Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom means Ad Lo Yoda, means You think that I'm an Arhaman. I'm not an Arhaman. I'm a Baruch Mordechai. And I don't. The person who you really are, I don't even know. I don't know. I'm not machsh of the person that you are. If I would think about who you really are, I would recognize you as being something altogether different than any person I've ever met in my life. That's why you can look at somebody that you just spent the whole day with and say Shalom Aleichem, like I never saw you my whole life. Aleichem Shalom. Because I don't really know who you are. Because like I'm poor, everybody wears a mask. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. So Shalom Aleichem. You could be married to somebody for 40, 50 years, and you could say Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. Might be the only thing you say to each other. Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. What does it mean? It means I never ever truly understood who you were. And you don't understand yourself who you are. That's what it means. My kiddush levana. Davka bad levana. Be able to say those words. And she has the schadish kamaisha, there's going to be a schadish. When Mashiach comes, there's going to be one big Shalom Aleichem. Go, wow. I didn't know that was what it was. I didn't realize who you were. I didn't know who you were. And I didn't know who I was. So you can give yourself a Shalom Aleichem also. You know, you ever say kiddush levana by yourself, son? It happens every now and then. You get stuck someplace. You have to say kiddush levana. Last night, you say kiddush levana by yourself. So there's something funny about Shalom Aleichem. Shalom, Shalom, Shalom. There's something nice about it. It means maybe you should get to know yourself a little bit better. That's what it means. I'd like to introduce you to yourself. Shalom Aleichem. Aleichem Shalom. Okay. Shalom Aleichem. We'll continue after Yom Kippur.